better talk the same thing in the day talk. I have my notes on here, but I got to put it together. All right, let's pray, and we're going to Bible study. You're going to see here on the screen the study of Christ, Jesus, Christ in the Old Testament, all right? And tonight is the book of Nahum, no Habakkuk, Nahum. I studied Habakkuk early in the morning, and Habakkuk is still in my head, but I better teach Nahum, because the only thing Nahum is going to be here, all right? So the Lord Jesus Christ, the Avenger, in the book of Nahum, okay? Let's pray. Father, we thank you and thank you that you teach us through your word to see Jesus. And tonight, Lord, we want to see Jesus. Oh, help me, oh God, to put the words together so that people may see Jesus. In his name we pray, amen. All right, the next point that we're going to see is the introduction that we study in this series of books. And this is the serious progression. Jesus in Genesis was the seed of the women. In the book of Exodus was Christ, the Passover lamb. In the book of Leviticus, he was the high priest. In the book of Numbers, Jesus was the brazen serpent. Remember, there was raised and put together. In the book of Deuteronomy, the prophet, Moses said, another prophet God will raise after me. In the book of Joshua, the savior of my soul. In the book of Judges, the judge and lawgiver. In the book of Ruth, the king's man redeemer. All right. In the book of 1st and 2nd Samuel, the intercessor. In the book of 1st Kings, 2nd Kings, 1st Chronicles, 2nd Chronicles, the reigning king. In the book of Ezra, the faithful scribe. In the book of Nehemiah, the builder of the wall. In the book of Esther, greater than Mordecai. In the book of Job, the healer of my soul. In the book of Psalm, we choose Psalm 23, the shepherd, all right, of Israel. In the book of Proverbs, the wisdom of God. In the book of Ecclesiastes, Christ, the fear of God. In the book of Song of Solomon, the bridegroom, a presentation of the church. In the book of Isaiah, the Messiah of Israel. In the book of Jeremiah, the weeping prophet and lamentations. In the book of Ezekiel, the Jehovah of the Old Testament. In the book of Daniel, the King of Kings. In the book of Hosea, the eternal husband. And then in the book of Joel, the day of the Lord. Remember how many times was repeated. And then in the book of Obadiah, the great foreign missionary. In the book of Amos, the book of Amos was, I forgot, all right. Barmy? The burden bearer. Thank you, thank you. I better make a note here, all right. Amos, okay. All right, and then where we are, in Jonah, remember the savior of the soul, and then in Micah, the messenger. Now, we're going to do this again, even though the topic for discussion is the book of Nahum, and it is relationship to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's the only study we're going to do, a profound study, how the book of Nahum present the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, we got an introduction to all of this, and remember Luke 24 and 27, the Lord Jesus was talking to how many disciples? Two. And what? Where he told them that they can find Jesus, where? In the Bible, in the book of, remember Moses. Then he's talking in 24:44, he's talking to how many? 11. One was dead. All right, 11. And he told the 11s, he said, you're going to find Jesus in the Bible. All right? Now he's talking to Pharisees in John Gospel, chapter 5, verse 39. Let's go over there. John Gospel, chapter 5, and verse 39. And look at what he says to the to the Pharisees. He says, search the scripture, for in them ye think ye have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. So he tells the Pharisees that it's good to search the scripture, but they're going to find one thing in the scripture. They're going to find who? Jesus Christ. They're going to find Christ in the scripture. The verse that I liked more, the verse that compelled me to do this study of the Old Testament is Hebrews chapter 10, that verse in verse 7. So let's move over there. Hebrews chapter 10 in verse 7. And in Hebrews 10 and in verse 7, the Bible said, I come in the volume of the book, it is written of me to do thy will, O Lord. In the volume of the book. This is a book and have many volumes. How many volumes are here? 66. How many volumes in the Old Testament? 39. 3 times 9, 27. 27 in the New Testament. All right? And so here we are in the volume of the book. It is written of me. So my intention then is to find Jesus in the Old Testament. Now, let's go back to the book of Nahum. And first, we're going to learn in the book of Nahum the personal background. All right? Personal background. And here we have, let's find about the name. Nahum chapter 1, verse 1. Nahum chapter 1 and verse 1. Now, here's how the way you write Nahum in Hebrew. And remember, Hebrew reads from right to left. This is an N, this is an A, and this is a Ch, this is an U, and this is an M. So they go, Nahum, okay? That's the way you read it, all right? Easy, okay? Look at verse 1. The burden of Nineveh, the book of the visions of Nahum, the Ekoshite. He tells you where he lived in the book of Ekosh. Remember, verse 1 tells you where he lives. And so here it is. His name means full of comfort. Nay, when you write this word alone, that's what I separated. That means full. Na in Hebrew means full. And hum means comfort. Full of comfort is the name of Nahum. Now the place where he writes, he said the burden of Nineveh, in Nineveh is written this way, N-I, okay, and the I goes a dot here and there, Ni-na, okay, and va, this is a v, okay, Nineveh, and this is like an H, and you don't pronounce the H in Hebrew, and so when it's at the end of the word, so Nineveh is the place where he writes. So Nineveh is the capital of the what empire? Assyrian Empire, all right? The Iraqis, and he writes to the Iraqis. Now, what is the purpose where he writes? Here is the purpose, and the purpose is deliverance for Israel. Let's look on it. Chapter 3, verse 1. Nineveh, Nahum, chapter 3, and verse 1. Woe to the bloody city, it is all full of lies and robbery. The prey departed not. And now, let's go to chapter 1 and verse 13. Chapter 1 and verse 13 and verse 14. Here's what the Bible said. For now will I break his yoke from off thee, and I will burst thy bonds in sunder. And the Lord hath given a commandment concerning thee, that no more of thy name be sown. Out of the house of thy God will I cut off the graven image and the molten image, and I will make thy grave, for thou art vile. So God used Assyria to take Israel into there. Remember, for 70 years. For 70 years, Assyria was in Nineveh. And God said, that's enough. And when God said, that's enough, And God's going to bring vengeance upon the city and is going to judge the city. So again, the name means full of comfort. He's prophesying. The city he's prophesying is in Nineveh. And his message is deliverance for the people of God. Now let's see the message, all right? The first thing you're going to see is the method of the message. Chapter 1, verse 1. Look at what the Bible said. Chapter 1, verse 1. The message said, the burden of Nineveh, the book of the visions of Nahum, the Echoshite. Echosh is another name for Capernaum, all right? So here it is, visions, all right? Do we have revelations today in visions? And the Bible said, no, nobody can come here and say, I have a vision. But the vision was okay for the prophet. Now, let's do a New Testament check on visions. Let's compare 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. Now, this is how we get the revelations today. Not by visions that we have special visions, but in 1 Corinthians in chapter 2, and starting in verse 11, look at what the Bible says. For what man knoweth the things of man, say the spirit of man which is in him. Even so the things of God knoweth no man but the spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Which things also we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Now, revelation today, how the revelation come to me today? By comparing one verse of the Bible with another verse of the Bible with another verse of the Bible. Not with what somebody said, because he say it, but because God say it. So Nahum was okay. He got a vision, and that's real. God spoke. It's called in theology verbal inspiration. Verbal inspiration. God spoke to Nahum in verbal inspiration. But once the Bible was completed, the Bible said that God speak to us through the scripture by comparing a scripture. All right? Now, the main theme. The main theme of the book of Nahum is the destruction of Nineveh, chapter 1, verse 15. Behold, upon the mountain, the feet of him that bring good tidings, that publish peace. O Judah, kept thy solemn feast, perform thy vows, for the wicked shall no more pass through thee, he's utterly cut off. So look at the beginning of verse 15. Don't look like the gospel. Behold, upon the mountain, the mountains, the feet of him that bring good tidings. That word was used when Jesus came in, the one who bring good tidings. All right. And so the main theme is the destruction of Nineveh. Now the key verse is in chapter 1 and verse 3. Look at how beautiful. This is the key verse of the entire prophecy, chapter 1 and verse 3. The Bible says, the Lord is slow to anger and a great power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Wow. Will not at all acquit the wicked. The Lord hath his way and the whirlwind and in the storm and the clouds are the dust of his feet. God will not acquit the wicked. We study in the open forum today the issue, if an unbeliever die, where he goes. And we find a lot of verses. Right now, the unbeliever is enjoying a good time of silence. But there will be a day of judgment. And the unbeliever will be waking up. And when he wakes up, he sees Jesus and the believers in the courthouse. And he will be judged. God will not acquit the wicked. Now, here is a synopsis of the entire book so that we take a good look. Now, look at in verse 3 again. The Lord is slow to anger. What that means, the Lord is patient. See that? That's why Nahum is full of comfort. The Lord is full of patience. He's going to judge. but he is bringing the gospel to the nations because God is full of patience. It's slow to anger. All right? Now, look at the second. The Lord is merciful. See, in verse 3, the Lord is slow to anger and great power, merciful. Now, I say there, greater than here. The Lord is greater than, tell me. The Lord is greater than, has great power. He's patient, but he has great power. He's greater than, let me give an example so you know what I'm driving to. He's greater than Hitler. Hitler came and go, and the Lord is still on. All right, he's greater than the Japanese emperor. All right, he's greater than Aristotle's, the philosopher. He's greater than Marx. The Lord is greater than mine. Pardon me? Satan. Greater than Satan. Thank you, my brother. Thank you. Greater than Satan. Greater than death. Greater than death. Two hands from Brother Paul. What do you want to say, Paul? Oh, you put your foot in the cold. All right. All right. The Lord is greater than my circumstances. The Lord is greater than my circumstances. People get without jobs, and I bleep for them. But the Lord is greater than your without jobs. See, he's forcible. He said the Lord is slow to anger of a great power. It's talking about God. Gadol, great power, no measurement. There is no match for God, all right? That's why the man is a full comfort. There is no match for God. He has great power. Your circumstances, if you're a believer, are in the hands of God, and he has great power to perform what you need. And so we lack nothing, and that's the kind of God that we have, and that's why he brings comfort. Now, the next step is the Lord is just. Look at verse 3. He said, the Lord is slow to anger and a great power. I will not at all acquit the wicked. No compromise. If you're an unbeliever and if you die as an unbeliever, we say today on the table in open forum, if you die as an unbeliever, there is no arrangement after court. There is no, okay, let's settle after court. When you are in court in heaven, and you wake up in the throne of God, and the angels of God and the believers of God are there in the jury, there is no acquaintance. There is no settlement out of court. There is no settlement out of court. You have to be sure you're a believer here, because there is not even a hint of hope when you die. Now, I expect about three of my friends today here from the coffee shop, but nobody came in because they asked me, what hope do your church give to the people when they die? Zero. He said, well, your church is very bad. It's just like the Taliban. Don't want anybody. No, we love them now. But if you die, you have confronted the God of heaven, and you have done evil against God and blasphemed the name of Jesus, and he will burn you forever in the lake of fire. And they say, oh, what a terrible God. The church can do nothing. The church can do nothing. Except one thing. What the church can do? Bring the gospel. What if the people don't want it? You say it. It's either you have Christ or nothing. See, this is a good point. The Lord is just. The Lord is just. He's a loving God. He's have patience. He has patience. But if you die in your sin, goodbye, because there is no compromise. Now, here is a warning. Here is a warning. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Let's go to Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Here is a warning that the book presents to us. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. Now remember, the Lord is patient, the Lord has power. But you cannot fool God. You cannot fool God. So now, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7. Look at what the Bible says. Be not deceived. Don't fool yourself. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. And that's the message of Nahum. Don't fool yourself. wherever a man presented, these Nineveh repented once, remember? And the what preacher preached at Nineveh and the people repented? Remember the name of the fellow? Jonah. This is 100 years later in history. Nineveh became completely evil. And God said he's patient, he's wonderful and powerful, but he's just. And nobody can fool God. Galatians 6, 7. Nobody can fool God. See, he clearly said, whatsoever a man soweth, shall he also reap. Now, here is the example. Matthew chapter 25. Let's go over there. It's a great chapter. Matthew chapter 25. And let me tell you what happened. Matthew 25, verse 31. When the sons of man shall come in his glory, and all the holy angels with him, then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory. Verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divided his sheep from the goats. And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. Who does the separation? You read it. Who does the separation? Jesus Christ does the separation. Come here, you go here, you go here, and you have no choice whatsoever. Now, let's jump to verse 41. And verse 42, verse 41 and verse 42. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. Prepare for the devil and his angels, for I was in a hunger, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. So you see, you cannot fool the book of Nahum. Nineveh have fooled around for too long. Had the opportunity, they became believers. Maybe these are the great-grandchildren of those people in Jonah time. And they believed not. And they were rough on Israel. And they really were tough on Israel. And they did not repent. And they don't care about God. And so God is going to fulfill his judgment. You cannot fool God. And Naaman is saying great things because God is patient. Doesn't mean that he's going to say, well, it's okay. See, God will not do that. God will be in justice. And unless we have the time with the Lord Jesus, then there is no way. You know, there is a great king, Shalmaneser, who start the whole thing. He start coming into Jerusalem. He took Israel, and then he took Judah out of there. You know who took Judah? Nebuchadnezzar. And for 70 years, Israel suffered under their hand. But God will give discipline to Israel because they disobeyed God. And now God is after those unbelievers, and they believe not. And so therefore, because they believe not, the book of Nahum is brought, the prophet is brought in full of hope for Israel, full of hope for the believer. The believer is full of hope. I was asked, if an unbeliever die, where did he go? Bible said in Psalm 115, verse 17, he goes to a place of silence. And the next wake up, when he wakes up in the morning, he never knew that maybe when 1,000 years pass by, he wakes up in the presence of a judge. But you, the believer, goes into the presence of God and is there until God open the earth and bring those bodies back into place. And you will be known, said the Bible, as are known now. All right? So watch it. What a blessing we have that we have repented, that we have, what is your part? Are you tempting the justice of God, or are you covering by the patience of God and submitting to the patience of God? The way to live is to live under the patience of God and transfer that into the lordship of God with his great and mighty power. We don't have to fight. I was asked by a group of people, will we go around against the homosexuals and go marching against these? I receive all kinds of invitations. Will you march in San Jose about this? I march against anybody. I march for Jesus. If we will carry a sign saying, Jesus saved, I will march in the street. That's the only way I'm going to do. But to say homosexuals are wrong, these are wrong. I know they're wrong. They know they're wrong. And we don't have to tell it because, see, one sin is no better, is less than the other sin. Sin is sin. But Jesus is the power. So Nahum said, God has patience. So never give up on anybody who's an unbeliever. Never give up. God has patience. But if you have a chance, make those people aware that if they die in their sin, there is no hope because God is judge. It's just. Thank you, Father, for the lesson that we have in the book of Nahum. And thank you for the lesson that comes into our life, that we can know full God because He's of great power. Thank you for your patience, that one day you wait so long so that I can come into the kingdom of God. Bless us, O God, with a good week, walking with you, talking with you, being children of the living God all the way around. And we're going to be careful to give you the glory because you are our mighty God. Amen. All right. God.